Yeah, you had the tough job. You had to break down the 2 through 7, right? You were saying you're.
I did.
Yeah, the sexy ones Friday night where you got like 30 minutes in between picks, and then 2 through 7. It just, holy macro, did they ever get a lot of work accomplished?
Yeah, I had to do the heavy lifting. Shane got to do the easy stuff for the first round, no doubt.
Well, so who are you happy about in round 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7?
Well, you know, it's a lot of rounds. I'll tell you, I thought, first off, the Leafs pick of Korshkov was great because this is a kid who really started in the World Juniors. He's got good size. He's a winger. And he's one of those guys that already, even though he's underweight, he's 6'4", 180, if he gets in inside position, he's hard to handle. And so imagine him with, you know, at the correct weight 3, 4, 5 years from now. I mean, I think that's what they were sort of looking at. I love the Rasmus Asplund pick from the Sabres, third in the second round. I mean, Cam Morrison for the Avalanche, a kid out of the USHL, very, very good two-way guy, 6'2", he's really good. You know, and then there were some late ones, you know, like Chase Prisky in the 6th round for the Capitals, Quinnipiac defenseman. You know, sometimes it's weird because a lot of times college defensemen get picked in late rounds in the draft, and a lot of them end up playing, and then a lot of them end up free agents and signing with other teams. And so it's odd. Unless you're like a super, superstar in the college ranks, it seems like you're always going to be destined to go 5th, 6th, or 7th round. But I like him. He's a good one. An interesting one was Ty Ronning in the 7th by the Rangers. This kid talks a great game. He plays a great game. He's 5'9". Is that his fault? 163. He's going to have to build himself up. But as you know, his dad, Cliff, wasn't that big a guy either. It was a different era, but I got to tell you, Ty's really fast. And he seems very motivated. So I think he's got a shot.
Yeah, you know, as we were sitting there, I can remember being on the draft table or draft floor for so many years. And mm-hmm. when it was 12 rounds, you quite often, yeah, an agent would talk to you, and you'd get a guy in the 10th or 11th, like as a bit of a favor. I mean, they're all prospects, but as a bit of a favor, right? Because, you know, it's a funny animal about going there and not getting picked. And generally, you want to be safe. And I knew Ty was still available. I knew he got picked. Griffin Luce was one I felt bad for. I mean, Scott Luce did such a great job in Florida, and now they had a shuffle there. His grandfather, Don, is a scout for the Maple Leafs. Great, solid NHL career with the Buffalo Sabres mostly. And, mm-hmm, boy, it's funny. You mentioned, you know, guys going the 6th or 7th round. Guys just all of a sudden catch a bad wave and whatever happens there.
Yeah, they do catch a bad wave. Like, even for 47th overall, I think Sam Girard for the Predators is a steal. Oddly enough, he's a defenseman. Like, you know, Nashville knows how to pick defensemen. This kid was the strongest pound for pound in the combine. He had 74 points in the regular season. Even if you were only going to use him as a rover, and you wouldn't because he's great on the power play, and he really is a solid defenseman who does hit people, even at the height of 5'9", it's just, you know, there is still this height bias. It definitely still exists. It was on display at this draft. Not 100% because Clayton Keller went 7th, so that was good. At least I would have given a standing ovation to Arizona for that pick if I could have, but I was in the back working, but I would have.
Russ Cohen, Hockey Prospects Radio. I haven't brought this guy up since the 7 o'clock hour, and we did it in passing, but the Rangers' first pick in the draft came in the 3rd round. It was number 81, and it was Sean Day.
Yep. We had him on NHL radio. We actually interviewed him, and he's a good kid. I always feel bad about this exceptional status stuff because this weight on him, it was like having another 200 pounds on him, you know, and so this year, I think somebody finally spoke to him and said, listen, just dedicate yourself a little more to the game. Don't worry about that. Play your game. You'll get drafted. And the interesting thing is he got picked 80th overall. But I said to him that, hey, to a Ranger fan, you're their first round pick. And I never heard the end of it the rest of the show. The people on the show, Michelle and Alberga, were acting like I freaked the kid out, and I don't think I did. But I was just letting him know, when you hit New York, that's sort of how he's going to be treated because he was their first pick. But I like the pick, and I think in this day and age, if you can get a defenseman like that, and the worst thing that you have to worry about is him just being in peak condition and ready to play, I think you can do it because he's already at 12% body fat and he's acting like he can do better. The other interesting thing is he's still 230 pounds. Like, some people are always going to be a certain weight. Like, I remember one time in my own life, I got ridiculously thin. The girls loved it. I felt horrible. So then I put the weight right back on.
Here is a
that's a tough one to follow.
Yeah, that's a weird. I don't know. I'm not sure how to follow that question, that comment. Here's something though. Correct me if I'm wrong. And we say this sometimes about, oh my God, we put too much pressure on these kids. We put too much pressure on these kids, mm-hmm. and it's all just lip service because we go ahead and put the damn pressure on every one of them anyway. We say, right. Oh, maybe we're heaping too much pressure on them. Well, yeah. So is this kid the poster boy for, you know, he gets exceptional status. He gets to go into the Ontario Hockey League when he's a 15-year-old following the likes of John Tavares and Connor McDavid. So is this a case of like, here, kid, you know, you're the next superstar, and he just couldn't deal with it. Like, you know, training-wise, weight-wise, whatever, behavior, you know, attitude-wise. Is that it?
Yeah, I don't like it. I mean, I'll be honest. I think I don't mind having the status. Change the name. The minute you start calling someone at a young age exceptional, you're already sort of putting a label on somebody that makes it a little harder than the average hockey player to sort of live up to. And I just don't like that. And I don't think it's the kid's fault, you know. And they are young. But at the end of the day, the pressure's there, right? You're playing in the Canadian Hockey League. There's pressure. There's no way around it. And so they have to deal with that. They know that. And it is just lip service. You're right.
Well, some deal with it better than others. So I would hope for this kid's sake, and it'd be a great story if Sean Day, 81st overall to New York, turns out to be a hockey player at the highest level and overcoming whatever he's just gone through.
I think he's turned the corner. I do. I really, at the combine, I think he sort of exercised all the demons. He showed people. He had a great fatigue index score, which, again, if you were going to sort of rip on someone for their weight, well, then how come he has had such a good performance there and has some great stamina. So obviously that's just lip service too. So I really think there's a good chance for him. I do.
Ross Cohen, who went down, I think about the beautiful Buffalo weather, Simmer. I think that was the guy getting sand kicked in his face in the beach there where he's trying to suntan by the big muscular guy. Yeah. So
there
maybe,
is no beach in Buffalo.
Yeah. There was a little strip there. Anyway, let's go to the sexy night then, the one you got to sit back, watch. First round. I mean, whether not surprises, but some people think the number three pick by Columbus was a surprise. That was Mike Harrington said that of Buffalo. Craig Button disagreed in that. But about maybe a guy that you thought, wow, he slipped that much. That's a hell of a pick. I mean, Chikrin jumps out for a lot of people. And then another one that, wow, they took him early, which isn't always a bad thing, but just kind of like, wow.
Yeah, I would say even Logan Brown going to 11th, I thought was just a little bit of a slip because there was a lot of talk he could go sooner. And then all of a sudden things did start to fall down the board a little for him. And he's going to be a heck of a player. You know, Chikrin to 16 is a little surprising in the sense that I don't know what the reasoning is for this. I don't know what the scuttlebutt is about it because I saw him at the under-18s. I thought he played really well. He's got a great body, obviously, so he could be physical. He's got a good shot. He's got everything you want. And so I don't understand. Again, maybe it's, again, expectations that we are placing on a kid, expecting him to be in a certain place, and this is where he gets drafted, so that's fine. I think, you know, even Dante Fabro at 17, probably a little later than I thought he would go. I wasn't shocked over the Dubois thing either because I had said on a show, even though I had Puljujarvi ranked just ahead of him, the reasoning was I don't know if Dubois will play center at the NHL, and I think that's why they drafted him there because they're like, hey, he has played center. We want him to play center. Well, he plays center, and he's always going to be an offensive, great offensive player, so it doesn't matter that way. But if he plays center and does that, then it's unbelievable. If he plays winger, then there will be some comparisons because, you know, I think Puljujarvi does have a little better winger talent. But that's marginal. I don't think that's that big of a deal. You know, Keller probably went right where he should go, yet we were all surprised again just because it finally happened the right way.
Russ Cohen with us. I can't believe we haven't done this yet, but then again, Stelic and Simmer, we're not really the cliche question guys. You know, we usually go with our own angles. But
yeah, you do.
But in this case, I will go there because you guys might have done this exercise. What NHL team was the big winner, and what NHL team was the big loser on the weekend?
I never do the big loser because I just...
You're just a positive guy.
It's not that I'm just a positive guy. I just don't believe in it because you got to have 5 years to sort of look at a draft. But
good point.
I like what Arizona did a lot. You know, I loved Keller. They got Cam Dineen, a Jersey kid who really is an exceptional offensive defenseman. Now, he does have to work on his defensive game a little bit, but this kid is absolutely dynamite on the power play and very, very offensively gifted. They got a bunch of good picks. I really liked what Arizona did. And to be honest, I felt like Arizona had to have a good draft. I mean, that was a team that, you know, they have a good system, but guys are going to start moving up. So now they have to replenish a little, and I think they've done a good job with that. I really have. But, yeah, I don't think there's any losers. I just think the teams, if you want to call a team like a loser in the draft, they're only a loser if they don't have a lot of picks because it's a low-percentage game anyhow. And so the less picks you have, the worse off you're going to do generally.
Yeah, I think Detroit Red Wings' Ken Holland liked what Arizona did too. Sure, he's happy for him.
Yeah.
But they took his
thing. Yeah. But that's, you know what? That was a great move for Arizona because you got a player out of it.
Mm-hmm. 16th pick.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, I was just saying on the way out, I saw Chris Pronger, so I was kidding. Him and Datsyuk are two highly paid guys on Arizona now that probably you can put their stats down now.
Yeah. Pronger and Datsyuk's jerseys will get hung up together this year, but they'll never play together, right? I mean, it's just the weirdness of today's NHL. But, no, I think, you know, just getting Chychrun and Keller, you would think, is enough for a draft. And Arizona got more than that.
Hey, just wondered, you talk about, touch on the Rangers a bit. You cover the Rangers and Flyer beats the most as far as the NHL teams go. What'd you think about the Philadelphia Flyers?
Yeah, their draft was great. I mean, you know, Rupstov sort of got, you know, run down a little in this draft because of the doping scandal, the Meldonian scandal. And, you know, as it turned out, we questioned him just how that went about. And basically, kids were just handed some tablets and some juice, and they were like, here, take it. They didn't know what it was. They didn't know what they were doing. And then, sure enough, you know, months later, the whole team gets sandbagged, right? So that's not his fault. He would have been somewhere between the top 10 and 15 had this never happened. So the Flyers got a gem there because he's a great two-way kid. I mean, he's a playmaker. He's strong. He's very strong. And he's already trying to sort of get out of his Russian deal. So we'll see how that works out. And Carter Hart in the second round was fascinating because the Flyers do have a lot of goaltending in their system. But as they were wheeling and dealing, as Hextall was wheeling and dealing, and all of a sudden they saw Carter Hart on the board and was obviously their next ranked player, they went, we're taking him. And I don't blame him. I mean, CHL goalie of the year, great at the combine. He was the number one guy for the VO2 test, which, as you know, is the one where everybody throws up, but it also is a great indicator of the stress that you could sort of take and the kind of shape you're in. And he did like 12 pull-ups. He actually trains with Sam Steele, who Anaheim drafted. He did 12. Steele did 13. So I have a feeling he's going to, you know.
First goalie taken, Carter Hart.
First goalie taken, and you probably wouldn't have thought it would be Philly taking the first goalie taken, but he was on the board. And I liked him and Parsons the most. And so I thought they did great with that. I mean, and Allison, the kid from the USHL, he's got this sort of Scott Hartnell game. I'm not saying he's Scott Hartnell, but that's the kind of game he's got. You know, they did well.
Yeah. Carter Hart, I don't know. I don't think there's any Flyers fan is complaining about them taking a goalie. Because at some point in time, they want to stop having to say, oh, my God, we need a goalie. Someday it's going to happen. Someday it'll happen. Oh, so let me just get this straight before we let you go. So you lost weight, and chicks were digging you, and then you were uncomfortable with that, so you put it back on.
Yep, so I didn't feel good.
So there's two theories. One, you were already married, and your wife was like, yeah, we don't want the chicks all over you. Or two, and you got married when you were like 14. So
right, this was when I was a teenager. Just set that straight.
Yeah, all right. Just checking.
And I was into weightlifting, and I guess when I lost the weight, it just didn't feel good. Like, I just felt like wafy, kind of thin.
So you just ate donuts?
Not donuts, but other things that I liked.
Uh-huh, okay.
I had fun gaining the weight back.
The ebbs
where my natural weight should be.
All right. Go let Simarina out of that cage. I heard her whimpering a few minutes ago.
You did. And that wasn't her. That was Perla.
All right.
Well, he was trying to get him through the metal detector at the draft, too, the dogs, whatever. So, hey, thanks. It was great seeing you. I know briefly it was kind of hectic there, but I appreciate your insight as always, Russ. Thanks very much.
No problem. And your hair looked good, Gord. Keep it going.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Wow.
Russ Cohen.